Scriptures. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just want to tell you, Lord, that we love you. We're opening up our hearts to you this morning, God, that you just speak to us. Lord, it is recorded in your word that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And so, Lord, we position ourselves this morning here that you can speak out of your word, Lord Jesus, words of eternal life, God, that we go down into our hearts, down into our souls, Lord, it make a difference in our lives. We believe, God, that you desire that we would walk in this life victorious over every enemy. And so we're asking, God, today that you would deposit just something greater in our hearts, Lord, and help us in our walk in this world. We pray for your blessings on each one, every heart, every life. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. And if you have your Bibles, hope you do. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Just remember the Williams family will be traveling back today. Give them traveling graces as you travel. And also, let's remember Sister Mary. She lives in Northwest Arkansas right now, but she's very, very strongly desirous to get back to this area, just waiting for housing to open up for her where she can. And so, let's just pray and ask the Lord to do that. You know, it's important to be in the house of God to join together and to be with those of Black Precious Faith, to draw from one another. So we just pray that the Lord will provide that for her very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 28, we'll read from several portions in this chapter. It's very long, so I picked out portions that I want to read there. Verse 1, it shall come to pass, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations in the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flock of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when you goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thy hand to do unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Now let's go to verse 15 to 19. And all the people of the earth, but it shall come to pass. And he told us what would happen if you listen, whoever obeys his word. Now listen to this other side. It shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall be thou when you come in. Curse will be when you go out. Right? Now let's go to the last portion there, 64 through 67. This is still a list of the curses. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even to the other, and thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would to God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would to God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Amen. Now let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 28. Jesus speaking, there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. In Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Again, Jesus speaking. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray one more time. Lord, we ask that you would just bring the blessings upon your word. You know, God, that your word is the dwelling place of your presence. And so we receive it this morning. We receive you and ask, God, that you just come in and have liberty in this service this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to title this morning, Rest for Your Souls. Amen. Rest for your souls. You know, the entire Christian experience is based upon rest.
Right.
Amen. How thankful we are. There's a lot can be said there. There's a contrast there between living a Christian life and a life that's not a Christian life. But as Christians, God provides us rest. So we want to talk about that this morning just for just a little while. We have been warned by the prophet not to make the mistake of noticing what God has done in past days or looking forward to what God is going to do in the future and missing what he's doing right now. Because it doesn't matter how much we believe what God did through Moses or what God did back however many years ago, if it doesn't translate into something for our life today, right now. Right? It doesn't matter what's going to be in the future. What matters is, can we recognize what God has allotted to us in this day? Right? That's Christ being revealed in this day. And if we can recognize that and walk in that, then we have access to the benefits of Calvary. And so we've been warned not to just miss what God is doing right now. And so, but there's something that comes wrong right after that, and that is that we not become desensitized to what God's doing. Because you can recognize what God is doing, and it can just be going on, and we can walk for years and years in such blessings of the Lord, and after a while get to the place where it becomes common to us, become desensitized, and get to the place where we forget the magnitude of what it is God has done in our day.
Right?
And so, we need somebody to save us, right? And something that just don't quite cut, it's not good enough, right? But if it's something God is doing, we know that salvation is in it, and we don't want to take anything less than that, right? If God does something, there's a reason why he does it.
Right?
Right? He doesn't just play around. He doesn't just give more for whatever. He does exactly what needs to be done, and so he has provided things for us today, and we want to recognize that. But we don't want it to become common to us. Want to just remember the magnitude of what he's done. And so God has provided in this day a voice. Mm-hmm. A voice of truth.
Amen. Yeah.
And so we know the word tells us that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And his word, the word is truth. We understand that. We will also understand that throughout the ages that man and denominations and all that drifted away from the word. The scripture said it was going to come. Paul talked about it. There'd be a falling away. And so there was a need for God to come back here at the end time and do something to get the bride of Christ back on track, right? Because he said that he would provide a bride that was without spot or blemish or any such thing. And so he would have to come in the last days and restore truth. Told us he would do that. He told us he would send Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, to do that. And so God has provided the voice of truth. And so I was listening to Brother Branham talking about, and those of you listening to tapes, you probably heard this, but I just, you know, there's a lot of preachers and there's a lot of self-proclaimed, and we've seen it, we've heard it for years, you know, and they all have claims and all say this, and I'm not saying God hasn't done work in little ministries here and there, but they were not what I'm talking about. We cannot forget the magnitude of what God has done when he sent to us this day the prophet that he sent. And so I look out there and I think, if of all the ministries and all the whether right now or just in the 19th century or whatever, just look at all those. And if you could just take Brother Manum, set him to the side and just act as though he didn't exist, which one of those churches, which one of those ministries do we think that we could look to for truth? Which one of them had the vindication of God in them? None of them. When you look at them, and they're more concerned about the praises of men than they are praises of God. And so you look at them, and they've gotten away from the Word, and they could be married 3 or 4 times and still be in ministry and be deacons and so forth. And you can just go right down the list, and you look at them, and so that's what the world saw as Christianity. That's what they thought it was all about. And it couldn't be hardly any further from the truth than what it was. So God would have to send somebody that could be an actual restorer of truth. And it wouldn't be just somebody just come along and something like it. It would have to be someone that had absolute Bible credentials like what we read. And I challenge them. Any one of them, I know they won't hear this, but I'm just saying that any ministry out there, come and show the sign that he did over and over and over without fail, without failure, accurate time and time again. Let some of them come. Yeah. Any of them. The call goes out. Come and stand before people that you don't know and tell them who they are and what they were thinking or what they prayed in their prayer closet that morning and be accurate every time. Let them come. And when they can come do that, then we'll listen to what they have to say and see if it agrees with the Word. Right? We can't forget the magnitude. A man can't do the things that this man did. Right? Can't do it. So God sent it just like the woman at the well. When Jesus began to speak to her, she didn't know who he was. She just thought he was just a Jewish man. Just fleshly looking on him as a Jewish man. But he began to talk to her, and after a while, he said, you know, he revealed himself, basically showed her the sign of a prophet when he discerned and said, you've had 5 husbands and the ones you're with now is not your husband. Her response was, she knew that sign of a prophet. How could this man know all about me having never met me? And as soon as he did that, she said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. And instantly she went into spiritual conversation with him because she had questions on her heart. And she knew that when a prophet was standing there with that sign, that's somebody you could talk to and find out truth from. Right? Right? To find out truth. And so I've seen it in Pentecost and all those. I come from there and all these people wanted to act like, you know, well, somebody here's got a headache and all that. I've never seen it. Or they'd stand there with their back turned and say, brother so-and-so, you know, an audience he hadn't even seen and say, you know, your doctor this and said that and this is going to happen. I've never seen that because there's one ministry that God had to send set so far apart to get our attention. Why? Just like the woman at the well, so that when we would see that sign and see the accuracy of it, we could say, I perceive this as a prophet and go to that as a source of truth. Like she did. Amen. She's the type of us. That's exactly. We have one, just like that scene, we have met in our day truth. Right. And that's why God did it. Brother Bram was talking about, you know, I mean, all these ministries, and they just do all kinds of things. And he was talking about being in Finland. And you just forgive me as I go through this, because I just heard it yesterday, and it just was so striking to me. But he was over there in Finland. Here's this mighty man of God, and he's ushered around the world with what's considered cream of the crop ministers to take him and let his gift and his ministry work. And so he's sponsored by the greatest of the great ministers that's in the land all around the world, right? And we know that. And he's over there, and all of these men want to go to a Finnish bath. And the Lord said to him, don't you go. Don't you do it. He had no reason. No, he had no, didn't know why. So he just sat outside while all these other ministers and all these brethren went into these Finnish baths, not knowing. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden here comes a woman through, bald-headed woman with a towel over her shoulder. She goes and heads to go in there where those men are. And Brother Bram says, hey, stop. And she just laughed at him and went anyway. Because they have women that would scrub them in. And when they got done and come out, Brother Brim said, that's not right. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. If we looked at somebody else besides this ministry, look what you'd be seeing. Men who we would think is cream of the crop, but they let something like that go on. You see what I'm saying? God had to send somebody with credentials, the same powerful credentials that he said that would come, just like what Jesus did, that people might know that it's not okay to follow all these other ministers when they're doing that. They're off the word. It's not okay. He sent us a voice in this day to listen to. Amen. So we need to remember not to lose the magnitude of what it is that God has done. I was over in Finland here about 10 years ago, me and Brother Brian Milton. They tried to get us to go to one of those things. Absolutely not. Then it we went out to eat at some place. They had some big wig over the whole thing go take us out to eat, and we went out there, and they tried 5 or 6 times while we're eating, trying to get us to order something, some alcohol to drink. I said, no. And it got to the place where it was extremely uncomfortable because they had the intentions of making sure we were going to drink. I said, no. So we get done, and you know, it's about 4 degrees outside, and we get done, and I'm thinking we're going to ride in the car to go back to the hotel. They're going to drop us off. No, he said, the project leader that was there, he said, let's just walk. It's 4 degrees outside, you know. Let's just walk back. Okay, so I had no idea where we was at, how far it would be. So we start walking, and he takes us to this building and takes us up in this elevator and then wants to go up this real tight stairs that only people could go up and nobody could come down at the same time. It's so narrow. Took us up into a bar in the top of this building, you know, trying to get us to drink, you know. And so I walk up there and they're like, what do you want? I said, I want a Coke. Yeah, you know, I think it's uncomfortable because they're so trying to push this at you, you know. And they kept saying, you need to go to the restroom. Go. Don't you need to go use the restroom? There was something about the restroom that everybody wanted you to go do. And Brian and I was like, we absolutely not. Right? And I'm just saying, you know, to them, as Brother Brown talked about this was culture. That was just their culture. He said, those women were raised to scrub men like that from an early age. Brother Brown said, I don't care. It's still not right. Right? And my point is saying this, you know, he said, you go to German, they drink beer. They drank over there. Want to know why Brother Brown wasn't drinking? He said, I didn't want to offend them. So I told him I was born under a Nazarite vow. I can't drink. I don't drink, you know. But they do. Brother Ben said there was only a few countries like America and England and maybe Canada or something like that where Christians don't drink. You know, it's their culture. It's their national thing. It's just like Finland, their baths and all that. That's their, and here's what I'm getting to. The Holy Ghost in your life supersedes national spirit,
right.
National traditions, right? Right? It doesn't matter. We belong to the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
We might be in America, but we're not Americans because we don't have the American spirit, hopefully.
Right.
But we have the Holy Spirit, and because of that, we don't partake of things that are ungodly, even if the nation says it's good.
Right?
Right? And when you travel around the world, same thing. So God had to send a voice for a reason. Something we could look to that could stand there and say, that's not right! And a pillar of fire hanging there to vindicate it. Who else had that? But people won't listen to it like that. They don't count the magnitude of what it is that God has done. Right? They just, like he's just anybody else, just another minister, had a little special gift. We have to realize that right now we're in birth pains. If you've heard that sermon, you know what that's about. Because every time God sent a prophet to Israel, it was a birth pain. He doesn't send that kind of gift, that kind of ministry, just for nothing. It's always, he sent it because something's about to happen. And there's a birth that's about to take place. And so, and Brother Bram tells us every time. And so now we know because of this ministry has come, this world, we're in birth pains. Because we're about to be birthed as the virtuous we are, being the virtuous bride of Jesus Christ and going into a body change, being birthed. And he talks about that, how that, you know, when Jesus came, it was birth pains, and how that the Pharisees and Sadducees, they just didn't want to die out to that law so they could be birthed into the kingdom of heaven. Because in order for there, you know, for there to be a birth, there's a death. Right? You understand? Neither having a birth is not easy, and death is not easy. And as we leave here, our sister Pansy, as she died here but was being birthed into that realm. Right? And so when a God sends a prophet, there is a reason. And there's birth. Something's happening. Right. And the people are to catch that and to get on board with it. But when they do, there's a dying out to something we have to have in order to embrace what's coming.
Right.
That's the whole concept.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so you have to understand that what God has done is that kind of magnitude. It is a birth pain. There is a changing taking place, like he said so many times. It's easy to build a straight wall, but when you go to turn a corner, it takes a real mason to do it.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where we are. Changing corners. So we understand that. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a famous chapter. I call it a famous chapter because I've heard it all my life, you know, in life as a Christian. Where God pronounces all the blessings. If you'll just stay with me, stay with my word. Obey, then I'll pour out these blessings on you, and you won't even be able to contain them all. And sometimes that's the way we feel. Just so blessed you don't know what to do. Brother Daniel asked me that yesterday, how you doing? I said, I'm blessed, so blessed. He said, you're so blessed you can't sleep at night. I said, is that what that is? You know, so blessed. Right? Just knowing God has moved in our lives and that he's making us, he's helping us go around that corner, helping us to die out to these things so we can fully embrace what he's brought to us.
Right.
Amen? And so, here he pronounces in Deuteronomy 28, blessed you'll be when you come in and you go out and your store and your basket. If you're buying, your purchases will go a long way. If you're selling stuff, you'll make a lot of money. You understand what he's saying?
Right.
As you come and as you go, whatever you set your hand to do, you'll be the head and not the tail. Right? You'll be the lender and not the borrower. All of those things. God said, listen, the whole thing, everything about you will be blessed if you'll just stay with me. But if you don't stay with me, right, then it's curses. You know, God, you've heard it said, man, God doesn't destroy man destroys himself. If you read in Romans, right? When they knew God and they glorified him not as God, but they began to make him act like four-footed creatures and beasts and creatures, in other words, went into idolaters, then the scripture said, then God turned them over. Right? He just pulled his hand back away. And that's all God has to do is just pull his hand off of humanity and they'll go headlong into the filth. And that's where he said they went right off in men with men and women with women. Why? Because when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. They began to make him into idolatry and all kinds of things. And he can't be part of that. And so when God has to pull back because of his holiness and righteousness, man left to himself, Satan jumps on him and takes him as far as he can just like that. And this is what happened there to Israel. God says, stay with, just stay with me. And if you'll just stay with me, I'll make sure your life is so blessed. But if you leave me, I won't be able to bless you. You understand what I'm saying? Just he doesn't have to do it. We do it when we walk away from him.
Right.
But he tells her and pronounces that, blessings and cursings. And he reminds you of the arrangement here. When God had told Abraham, you know, your children, you know, dwell in a strange land and I'll bring them out. The promised land, right? He told Abraham, I've given you this land, And your children, after they serve 400 years or so forth, I'll bring them into this land, which is a promised land, which he talked about. We just read it. And in that land, if you'll just serve me, you'll have everything that you need. And any nation that tries to rise up against you, they'll be defeated. They'll come in one way, and they'll be so scared, they'll be split into seven different ways when they flee from you. Right. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you is, as we know, Abraham was given that promised land, and when he was in that land, he was blessed, and he was strong. When he got out of the land, that's when he had problems with Pharaoh and Abimelech and all that. So the Jewish, in the natural, the Jewish person, when they're not in their homeland, they're out of the will of God. And that, in natural, is a spiritual type of the promise we have as Christians. The promise we have is the promise of the Holy Ghost. The promise of the Spirit of God being a life and a land, as it were, that we can live in. And as long as we're in the Spirit of God, and as long as we're walking with Him, that everything we'll need, everything we'll ever need, is right there as we if we'll just stay with God and stay with His Word. Everything that we'll ever need is right there. And any other nation, as he said to them, nations, but nation-type spirits, right? Physical land, physical nation is their Holy Ghost, but for us it's the Spirit. And so as we walk as Christians, any spirit that rises up to try and come at us, they'll be defeated and go seven ways. Any spirit of adultery or homosexuality or lust or any spirit that tries to come against a Christian is smitten by the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what the type was here. And so God is just saying, just stay with me. And if you'll just stay with me, nothing will be able to harm you. Mm-hmm. You'll have everything that you have need of. Amen. We have to remember that there's really only two kingdoms in this world. The kingdom of God, right? And the kingdom of Satan. And Satan, you know the scriptures talk about broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is that way, and that straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, right? There's only one way to be right, and that's to be with Jesus Christ, have His life in you. But when you get outside of that, there's millions of ways to live different, to not live with Christ in you, right?
Yeah.
So you understand that. So there's only two kingdoms, the straight, narrow kingdom of Christ and life. That's it. Then you get outside of that, there's thousands of ways to be led into slavery, led into bondage. And so, under Satan's rule, you understand, if you get away from Christ, then once you're outside of there, Satan might just say, well, I'm going to make this man an alcoholic, and I'm going to make this an adulterer, and I'm going to make this an embezzler. Right? He, whatever he wants to do, that's just, why? Because as long as you're not with Christ, then Satan, do whatever. You have no power against him without Christ. So he's telling us, you know, stay with us. So under Satan's rule, he's like Pharaoh. Brother Rem talked about the first nature, our first nature. You know, it's born in sin. That's your first husband. He's a cruel taskmaster. He makes you do all the things, sin and all that stuff. But when you're born again, you receive a new life. And that new life is the life of Christ. And so you don't do the things you did under the old man, under the influence of Satan. Now you're in the straight and narrow way, and you don't drink when you go to Finland. Right? Even if they're putting pressure on you, high ups in the company you work for that could have you fired, you say no. You see what I'm saying? Because it's a different life, and it's not something up here. It's something that's now happened down in here. That's what causes it. Well, because there's a new birth. You can't unbirth something.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So when you're born again of eternal life, that doesn't die in you.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's what the Bible tells us. Amen. So if you, under Satan's rule, get out from Christ, then Satan's like Pharaoh. He He has you building his treasure cities. Because everyone who lives underneath the influence of Satan is propagating and expressing and influencing his kingdom and causing others to be influenced by it and causing others, because people's watching you. Your children's watching you. Your family's watching you. Whatever you're doing, they're catching it, and you're influencing them. And if you're walking in a bad way, you're influencing them to do the same. Right? And so Satan has you building treasure cities, and Satan has you. The next thing you know, you're acting like him. You know, God made man. Man made slaves. If you look at it, everything God has done, when he comes and he gets involved in our life, it's to our blessing. When Satan comes and gets involved in your life, it's to your cursing. Where God came and he laid down himself that you might have life and have it more abundantly, Satan comes along that he might have more blessings at your expense. So you start building his cities, you start acting for him, and you start expressing his ways. Right? That's exactly what's going on, because there's only two kingdoms. Right. And it might be in all kinds of forms because it's a broad way.
Right?
Right? Everybody's just running and so excited about this, and you've heard me say it back, you know, bikers, they all rally around their bikes, and whether it's a sports team or it's whatever it is, some people in the business realm, they're all rallying around all this stuff, and none of it's Christ. It's not saying you can't, it's not saying that you can't be a successful person or have a motorcycle, you know, as a Christian. You can. But you know what? It's what I'm saying. This is all about that. That's their whole thing. But when you're a Christian, that's your whole thing.
Right.
That kingdom. Expressing that kingdom. Living according to that. That's the thing that makes a difference. And so, you start acting when you're under Satan's kingdom. You'll start causing other people to serve you. You'll always be about trying to do something and get the other guy so you're blessed. Always working the deal so it's best for you. See, what I'm trying to get at is in the realm of Satan, it's not about sacrificing yourself for others. It's about sacrificing others for yourself. But that's not what God did. God sacrificed himself that we could have life. Amen? Satan wants people to bear marks of his kingdom in their flesh and in their life. You see a man and a woman that's had a hard life, you can see it. You can look at people, you don't even know who they are, but you can look and you can see, and you're like, I can almost tell you the stories of their life. Because you know. You know, there's a difference. You can take a man or woman who've lived good, godly lives, worked hard, maybe farmers, whatever, and they're wore plumb out, wrinkled, and just stooped over, and it's a different look than the people who have served the devil. And they're broken down the same way. You can see it. You know what I'm talking about. People living a hard life. Because Satan wants you to bear in your body the marks of serving him. Amen. And so all kingdoms outside of that of Christ is to try to enslave you. But when Jesus came, it was to make you free, give you life, peace, give you rest. Rest for your soul. Like I said, you remember there was two trees in the garden. There was lots of trees, I guess, but the two that was specifically spoken of. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We know the tree of life is Christ. The tree of knowledge, that tree of knowledge is not the tree of life. It's something different. It's a different fruit. But this fruit is good and evil. And I say this all the time, if you eat off of the tree of life thinking it's good, you're deceived because you're getting evil too. You can't eat off that tree and only get good. There's only one tree that you can eat off that the only thing comes from it is good, and that's the tree of life.
Right.
But this is another tree, another life, another spirit, another thing that you can partake of other than Christ. Now you can take this one And with this one, no matter how good it looks, there's always death in there somewhere.
Right.
A new medicine, but there's death. You know, a new automobile or whatever. You know, you understand, everything off of science and all these things that has come, it's all got death in it, if it's not off the tree of life. Right. I'd say it'd be ignorant. You understand what I'm saying? And so, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we could see there what happens when they get away from God. Now, in St. John chapter 5, verse 43 and 44, I want her to pull this up and we'll read it. Jesus said this, "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. You've rejected me as I come in my Father's name, but him, there's another one coming, and you will receive that. A different one than him." So when we say, and he goes on, he says, Jesus says, then I want to send this back to my comment about the ministry of William Branham and people out there. They're more concerned about the praises of men. Look at this. Jesus said, "How can you believe?" Let me just express that, amplify that in my own thoughts. How can you really, truly believe and be a real Christian if you seek for honor from one another and not the honor that comes only? There is an honor that comes only from God, right? The greatest thing in the world of honor from God is for him to give you the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. That's right. But Jesus said, how can you even think you're believing right if all your concern is about the praises of man and what's going on in man's kingdom and what's going on off of this tree of knowledge? You understand what I'm saying? From this realm. And so, Jesus said, "I come in my Father's name and you receive me not, but if another comes in his name, you will receive him." You know, when we talk about coming, you know, a name, when I say a name, it's speaking about a life that's lived.
Right.
A character, a nature, a person. It's just a title that speaks of the real thing.
Right?
Right? And so when Jesus says, you know, when he came in his Father's, he said, I come in the life, in the anointing, in the expression, in the will, and the results of my Father.
Right?
Right? I come in that name. You receive not that name. Because Jesus had to come in his Father, just, you know, be obedient. And so when we talk about, we pray for people and we say in Jesus' name, you understand that, you know, it is the Spirit of Christ in us that causes us to be what we are as Christians. And we don't ever want to pray for someone in ourselves. We do this by the commission that God has given us. We do that because we are Christians. And so when it's his life in us that's causing us to do the things that we do, to pray for the sick and to live a Christian, then we are doing it in his name, in his life, in his expression. Right? So when Jesus said, "I come in my Father's name, I come in that life, and that expression to bring the word to pass, and you won't receive it. But somebody else can come in a different life, a different expression, a different unfolding, a different purpose, a different kingdom, and you'll receive him."
Right?
Right? Amen. You remember, Jesus comes to give us life and peace and joy and rest. So if we don't receive him who brings us life, peace, joy, and rest, we go and we receive something else. It's not life, peace, joy, and rest.
Right.
See?
Right.
You know, as Christians, that's what we bring. That's when Brother Daniel and I stand up and preach, that's what we're bringing. We're bringing you good news, glad tidings. Rest, peace, joy. That's what we bring because we're doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we bring. Amen. But another life, you know, a life, as I've kind of alluded to, a life that's lived, a name, well, there's actions. There's influence that it causes. There's results of that life being lived. There's consequences to that. Right? If it's the life of Christ, then there's actions and it influences and there's results from that. But when it's not Christ, it's some other one who's come in another name, another life, well, then there's actions and there's consequences and there's expressions and influences of that.
Right.
Same thing. You know, and if it's not Christ, then that other life is there to lead you into bondage and into slavery. Not rest. You understand, as a slave, as a servant, it's not rest. It's bondage. Servitude. Constantly working for that kingdom to build it at your expense. That's Satan. That's what he does. Make you out there to live some ungodly life when you could be a son or daughter of God. That's what he does. And you know, as a person, as a slave, you know, or in bondage, or even kidnapped. You know, if you're kidnapped, you're a slave, whether it be temporary or whatever. You're at somebody else's. And so there's psychological things that take place in a person when they are a slave, when they are not at rest, when they aren't free. You know, in the natural, if we don't get rest, what happens to our day? What happens if we don't get a chance to rest and sleep and we get tired and we can't stop and rest? What does that do? You understand what I'm saying? What does that do? And so what would it do spiritually? If you don't enter into rest spiritually, look what would happen. Same thing. And so there are psychological things that take place in a person when they're in slavery or in bondage. And after a while, you know, it's a known thing that slaves after a while will begin, a lot of them will begin to sympathize with their captors.
Yeah.
They will. They have what fails me for the word, a syndrome. Stockholm syndrome. How many of you ever heard of it? Right? I guess I didn't look this up just from memory, but I guess there was a bank robbery or something like that, a bunch of hostages taken or whatever, and years ago, I guess in Stockholm, Sweden, I don't know, but the whole concept, we'll get to that in a minute and you'll understand what I'm saying. But apparently, some of these, one or two of these women that were hostage in that bank, and, you know, after a while, when it all was over with, at some point, I think one or two of them actually married some of the men that were holding them hostage. And so this whole Stockholm syndrome thing come up, and if you look it up, it's where they begin to sympathize and begin to agree with and begin to think everything, oh yeah, you know, and it's not a bad thing. And in some cases, begin to help their captors go and do other things bad. You understand? So once you're under Satan's rule, well, if you ain't careful, you'll just start thinking, well, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with living like this. See what I'm saying?
Right.
Right? That's exactly what happens to people. You remember when Israel was in Egypt and God brought them out of Egypt? And they got off out there. Now they're being led by a prophet, pillar of fire, cloud by day, fire by night. I mean, what a glorious time. They just had, Pharaoh has just been destroyed and the sea his army. And glory to God and a pillar of fire and a prophet. And God's just destroyed our enemies and said, this day you'll never see them again. And sound like a great revival, right? And they get off out there and they begin to be in want. And they begin to need something to eat. They murmur. They do all the things. You know all the stories. They get out there and do all those things. And so at some point they say, well, would to God we were back in Egypt. So they had been slaves. Now, what in the world could be the matter with those people that they got out there? I mean, they were beat on a daily basis. They couldn't do it. They had to work to build Pharaoh's city. And now they've been set free from that. and then get off out here, and just because things don't go exactly the way they think it should be, just because God is asking them to have faith and believe that He will provide for them, and they're uncertain about what they're, then all of a sudden they're like, man, I wish we was back in Egypt. At least we had some garlics and some leeks and some things to eat back there. Yeah, Pharaoh might have been whipping us, and we might have been having work 24/7 for him, but praise God, we'd have had something to eat. You know how silly that sounds? But people do the same thing today.
Right.
Same thing today. God will deliver them and do things, and then they begin to murmur. The Scripture warns us not to be like that. But so you can see there's a mentality of being slaves, and you can take Israel out of Egypt, but then you got to get Egypt out of Israel. And you can take a people out of denominational thinking into Christ, but you've got to fully get all that denominational stuff out of them. Because you can't take it over. You can't take these things with you. All that has to die that there can be a real full birth into the new thing. There's that birth pain. And it takes a prophet to come along to set the thing in order, which is what God has done in our day. But people won't listen to it. Yeah, he had a ministry, but they just don't hold it in that regard. To realize this is not a man that has done this. They got out there, maybe was fearful of fearful of change. But as I said, it takes change, dying out of the change from the old to the new. So here at the end time, we read the scripture there where it said, men's hearts are failing for fear. We're looking at the things that are coming. And I say, why are men's hearts failing for fear? If you look out and you see everything that's going on and people's all worried, and it's just like we read there, that you're not even going to be certain of your life. You don't know what's going to happen next. And that's what I can hear people at work and all that. They don't know what's going to happen next. They know on the political realm that they have no intentions of letting a certain person back in office, and talk of civil war. They don't know what's going to happen. All this stuff coming across the border that's evil, they don't know what's going to happen. And everybody's just shaking, worried about it. And so I say, why are people's hearts failing for fear? Why are they so afraid? And the reason why is because He came in His name, and they didn't receive it, and they've listened to another name.
Yeah.
They've listened to another life. They've been influenced by something else. And there's a result and a consequence of listening and being part of being partakers of another life other than Christ. Because in Christ, He brings us peace.
Right.
He brings us joy. I was listening to Brother Bram talking about a colored man, and he's working at a camp somewhere, and they had a tornado bearing down on him. And he was a cook, I guess, and he was working, and there was a chief cook, which was a woman. And this tornado was bearing down on him, and she came over there and said, come over here to where I'm at, you know. And he gets over there, and she says, are you ready to meet God? Because you might have to here in a few minutes, you know. And he said, oh, you know. But this color guy came to Brother Brandon, and he said, can I have what that woman had? Because he said, because here's this tornado bearing down on him, and she reached out to him and said, you might need to pray if you're not ready to meet God. He said, but she just sat there just as peaceful and talking to the Lord just like it was her dad. She wasn't worried about one thing, because she had peace. You know, in this world, you have tribulation. It's coming. You have it. You have it all the time. There's all kinds of things in this world that you're going to endure all the time. But do you have peace? Do you have peace in your heart? That's the difference. That's the thing. And so he saw that in that woman. He said, can I have what that woman had? And Brother Brim said, of course you can, you know.
Right.
And he knelt down right there, nice clothes on, but knelt down in the mud, I think he said. And had, you know. And so, you know, Brother Brim tells us, when you pray, he said, just talk to him like you would talk to somebody else. Say, you know, Brother Branham, he'd give the example, Brother Branham, I did something, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Just talk to the Lord. You know, He knows. just that, I think you've all heard about I think it was a little boy, whatever, he didn't know how to pray, so he just wrote down his ABCs. The Bible says, do not be beguiled of the simplicity that's in Christ. It's simple. He knows. And if that's all you can do is just write down your ABCs and say, God, you put those letters together to understand what I need in my heart. Right? Like Brother B.J. Ryan used to say, you know, the guy's like, I don't know what's wrong. I just need fixing. And he went to the altar and prayed. And he got up and somebody said, well, what happened? He said, I don't know what happened. All I know is that he fixed me.
Amen.
And that's the simplicity of it.
Right.
People make it complicated. The simplicity of coming to Christ. And so the world's men's hearts fading for fear because they're listening to something else. And you know, so much stuff is just man-made. Do you realize that Satan, if you have everything you need and you're at peace and you're comfortable and everything's just fine, you know, you don't need nothing, then things aren't going to bother you. But if something can come along and cause a need, cause you to think you have a need, now they can offer you the answer to that need. This is what man does. This is what Satan does. This is what the serpent did to Eve in the garden. Look what she had. But he comes along and says, don't you know? There's something you don't have, and you really need this. You need to know like God knows. See what I'm saying? So the whole world, it all comes and they're like, you really need this. You're missing out when you go to church. You could be out catching a big 10-pound bass. Or or whatever. You understand? Satan come along and create this question in your mind. I have this need. And when you take that, it's another life. And it leads to bondage and servitude. And no rest for your soul. Because in Satan's kingdom, there is no rest for your soul. Right? Amen. Produce a need in you and then say, our governments do that. History and stuff, they kind of hide all that stuff. But if you know how to look for it, you can find out that the entire religious system out there that go in can cause a problem in a nation so they can provide the answer and the whole thing accomplishes something that they want. Happens all the time. Make the people afraid. Oh, somebody's got weapons of mass destruction. They're going to use it against you. You need our help. And then sign into something and then you're hooked in. Happens all the time. You know why I can say that? Because it's not of Christ. It's of the devil. It's something outside of Christ. So you know there's tricks. There's hooks in there somewhere. Always. That's the mistake people make. Thinking it's okay to do these things. It's okay to listen to this. If it's not the word of God, it's not okay. And there have been ages when maybe it wasn't coming out to where it was so clear, but in this age, God's making it very clear that if we don't get on board with this word that has come to set us free in a body change, if we don't get on board with that, there's one thing left, and that's judgment. Because it's rolling in right now. That's what it is. So God has come on our day, as I said a while ago, with a voice to lock down truth, to show us these things aren't right that the world has been partakers of in religious systems. A ministry just like Christ with same signs and wonders. I mean, like I said, somebody come and take me fishing and let me sit in a boat and a fish with his entrails be pulled out and dead, laying on the water for 30 minutes. And have this, whoever it is, have this person stand up in the boat and say, little fishy, I give you back your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And let me see that happen. We'll start there. But they don't. But brother, sister, that kind of ministry has been here. Why aren't people listening to it to the magnitude they're supposed to? Because we're fighting a battle. Fighting a battle, and Satan doesn't want us to listen to it that way. He wants us to believe it's okay just to listen to something else. Come in my Father's name, receive me not, another will come, and people go hook, line, and sinker. Something else besides the word of the Lord. Amen. But this word from Jesus Christ, when he comes, always brings peace and joy, rest for our souls. Look at the false prophecies. I come from Pentecost. I see all kinds of people prophesying and all that stuff. But it's still, you go out there, you look on the web, there's all kinds of stuff. Everything that happens, like the eclipse the other day. Oh, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and the world's going to end, and all that. How many knows all that stuff? Every time something comes along, there's all these people out there saying these things. And it never happens. And my point is don't ever listen to another thing those people say. But they just go right on and listen to it again. Next time, you know, if you've done any of that, if you looked at it, you realize that. Because why? They're not connected to the truth that God has brought in this hour. And when you're not connected to that, there ain't no telling what you'll wind up believing. I know people that have walked away from this word, and it's unbelievable what they wind up believing in their lives.
Yeah.
And what they wind up doing. Because remember, in the beginning, when they left the one true God, it became Babylon. When you leave, thus saith the Lord, you go right straight into Babylon, which is confusion. It's only two there is.
Right.
Kingdom of Christ, kingdom of Babylon, confusion. Outside of Christ, bondage. That's all there is. So all these false prophecies, religious or non-religious, saying this and saying that, and all these things, you know, and no accountability. No accountability. And people still listen to them. I was in Hardee's Friday morning. I went by there to get something to eat. Give me something for breakfast. And there was this older gentleman there. Might not have been very much older than me, but maybe 10 years. He was standing in line in front of me. And the lady behind the counter, she knew him by name. He goes in there all the time. I don't remember his name, but I'm just going to use the name Joe because that's the name I always use. My kids always got tickled at me because I was always talking about Joe down the street, who's the troublemaker, you know. But anyway, she said, "How you doing, Joe? You doing okay?" "Oh, yeah, I'm doing fine, you know." And she said, "Did you get to see the eclipse?" And, "Oh, yeah, I got to see it, you know. Yeah, it was really cool, you know." He said, "Did you notice how much brighter the sun was after the eclipse?" And she's like, "Yeah, I think I did notice that." He said, "Well, that's because the moon cleansed the sun." "So yeah, it cleansed it." He said, "Like a windshield wiper blade would cleanse your window. So after the moon did that, it cleared everything out, and so now the sun can shine brighter." Really? My life is so much better now that I know that. My life has been enhanced. Because now I know. You understand what I'm saying? My life is so much better now that I know who the latest movie star is. What the latest song is on the charts. You see what I'm saying? What are we feeding on when we pay attention to that stuff more than we do the Word of God?
Right.
Do you understand? Right. It's another life. It's another name. And it leads to nothing but no rest for your soul. I'll ask people, "How you doing spiritually?" Oh, they'll have the greatest of this and the greatest of that, and they do this and they do that, and but how are you spiritually? How you doing inside? And you know the answer. Amen. You know, at work they send out this thing every week called the Weekly Buzz. It's a little, sometimes I think in the form of a calendar or something, or maybe, anyway, it's the Weekly Buzz. It's what everybody's talking about at work. And you know what? I don't even read them. Because I look at them, and it's all about accepting this lifestyle or this thing or that thing, all nonsense and filth and just that kingdom just coming in. And they want you to think about it. They want it to be the buzz. But what's the buzz in God's kingdom? This word coming to pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the buzz. That's what we want to pay attention to. I realize even me saying that, probably I could lose my job just by saying that, because they're so gung-ho on you must receive these altering lifestyles. They'll find a way to deal with you if you don't. Right? But in God's kingdom, we have a different life. We have a different nature. Amen. Man eating off of the tree of knowledge could never give you peace, life, joy, suffering, rest for your soul. Man can't do it. Right. You can't give something you don't have. Right? They can't do it. Amen. But God can. Amen. God can do it if we stay with Him. You know, the scripture tells us this world is not our friend. This world's not our home. This world, the Bible says, if you are friends with the world, you are an enemy with God. If you're friends with the flesh, see, you are an enemy to God because it's contrary to His kingdom. But God has a way for you to have rest and peace for your soul, and that is to stay with Him. Stay with what He's vindicated. He didn't leave us drifting out here just wondering. He made it clear. He made it clear what ministry had the presence of God with it and not just gifts that can be imitated. He made it clear. Amen. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Let's bow our hearts to Him. I ask each one as we bow our heads, how are you doing spiritually? Do you have rest, peace in your soul? God has already proven in this day that there is a gospel that absolutely works. And if you don't feel like that you've done the best in the world at staying connected to that, that would be a good time just to reconsecrate yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Because I know hardship comes. We all know those things. But in those times of hardship, there's one thing that we want, and that is to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. So we just pray now, Lord Jesus, as you've heard the things that we've shared this morning, that God, you have provided in this day a clear channel, Lord, a vindicated ministry voice that shows us what truth is, that made this Bible come alive. Lord, if you come along in this day and was saying something that was not even found in scriptures, we'd have reason not to believe. But Lord, this very word that you have preserved throughout the ages, God, when he came with that ministry, with your presence, this Bible became alive. It became a new book to us because we realized that the things that he was saying that others had missed was laying right there in the scriptures all along. And by that, Lord, we know that it's a voice of truth has come this hour for us to listen to. I pray, God, that you would help us, each one, to analyze our lives, Lord. If there's choices and things we've made where we're not connected to this word, I pray, God, right now, each one as they pray, Lord, this would be the hour that their life is reconnected. Lord, if they've drifted away, may they come back now to this truth, God, that will set them free and give them peace in their soul. We ask, God, that you bless each one as they pray to you and talk to you. Lord, knowing that you will meet them. Lord, out of sincerity, let each one find you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you. Sister Pansy. I know the family had said that she didn't really want to have a service or anything like that, but my wife and I had traveled down to visit with her some time back for the specific purpose of finding out and her telling us what she wanted to do. And of course, the family doesn't want to have a service. We can't force them to, but we can. We can have a memorial service for her. So just give us a little bit of time to figure out. I don't know if we want to announce it or just have it, whatever, but just be in prayer for that family. And we're glad our sister's on the other side. I called Mary last night. I said, well, over there on that other side where we're all headed, I said, there's another precious person over there now.
Yes.
Amen. Brother Daniel's right. She was a soldier. I've heard people say, when we had prayer requests, to get that prayer request to Sister Pansy. Because she would pray.
Amen.
And she always came back and said, thank you, Lord. Right? When he would answer prayers. So just remember them and those that be hurting. May the Lord speak to their hearts. Her sons were raised to know truth. May that be renewed in this time. Amen. Let's sing this again, let you.